Well, Pastor Damien is not with us tonight. He's enjoying much deserved rest. And don't worry, he'll be back with us next week, Lord willing. Tonight, I have the privilege of opening God's Word to you. And my name is Jonathan Kaler. I am one of the pastors on staff, and my responsibility is that I oversee the facility ministry here at Calvary Chapel. So that's a little bit about what I do. Now let's get into God's Word. If you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this evening, men are coming down the aisles right now with an armful of Bibles. Just raise your hand, get their attention. They want to get a Bible into your hands so you can follow along, not only with your ears, but your eyes, as we look into the wonderful Word of God. We're going to be in verses 5 and 6 tonight. Well, as you see on the screens, verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. One of the most common requests that we get as pastors, and I have to admit one of the most common questions that I have in my own life, is what does God want me to do in the particular situation I find myself in? What is His will for my life? What is His direction? And this evening, I'd like to look at how these two verses give us the promise that God will direct our paths. There are three things that we will be focusing in on tonight. Number one will be trusting the Lord. Number two, acknowledging the Lord. And number three, the Lord's promise of direction. So let's start with number one. We'll start by looking at trusting the Lord. In verse 5, it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust expresses a feeling of security that is felt when one can rely on someone or something else. This is an expression that can also relate to the state of being confident, secure, and without fear. In the original language, trust paints to me a beautiful and vivid picture of one lying helplessly face down. To trust is to commit everything into the hands of the Lord, to place your full confidence in the Lord, to surrender to Him. This trust is unwavering confidence in our Father's proved wisdom, His faithfulness, and in His love. We are told in verse 5 to trust with all of our heart. The heart here refers to the emotions, the intellect, and to our will. In other words, when it says trust with all your heart, he means trust with all of who you are, all of what you are. Your feelings, your mind, and your will. This is complete trust in the Lord. Now, as we continue in verse 5, we notice that we're not only told what to do to trust, but we're also told what we shouldn't do. One of the things we're supposed to do is start the timer. So we're started now. That gives me at least 5 minute buffer here. So we look now at what we're not to do in verse 5. Lean not on your own understanding. To lean means to support yourself. This is the exact opposite of trusting the Lord. As I mentioned, that trust paints a picture of lying helplessly face down. To lean paints the picture that we have gotten up from that lying position and now we're holding ourselves up. We're propping ourselves up with our limited understanding. No longer lying face down. I'm now putting my weight. My support is now coming from my limited understanding. No longer am I resting on and supported by my trust in God. But now I'm supported by my understanding. As I said, our trust in God must be complete. But it must be more than just complete. It must be exclusive. We cannot trust the Lord and trust in our understanding. This trust, it's really a belief in God's word. It is when I believe what it says, what God's word says so much that it overrules my own understanding and my own logic. We can only do this when we trust with all of our heart. This is a trust that is bought in completely to what God says in his word. Have you ever moved forward on something that you were not quite sure about? You went forward apprehensive and you didn't trust what the person or a person had told you. In that state, it caused you to be in doubt as you went into the situation, to go through the experience with stress and apprehension and uneasiness. I'm sure we've all had the experience of being invited to someone's house for, let's say, dinner. And so, of course, you need directions to get to their home and you call them up and they start off by saying, "Oh, it's so easy to get to our house. You can't miss it." And they follow by dictating the directions to their home. And so you get them and you are off on your way. You pack up your family and you head off to their house. And as you go, the directions just aren't working for you. You're following them to the T. You're not missing a turn. You're not overlooking a direction. But you are simply not ending up at their house. You might be tempted to think to yourself, this person drives this way every day. And yet when I've asked them how to get to their house, they can't give me proper directions. They can't tell me. Now, when this happens in my car, it's never a very peaceful ride. It's one of stress. And as my children have gotten older, they have joined in the fun of asking, why is it taking so long? Why did we turn down here? Where is their house? All the same questions my wife has, but is too gracious to ask. And so in time, after a few phone calls, you speak to someone who knows what they're talking about and you end up getting to the house. And hopefully by that time you've had time to get things right with the Lord before you go in and enjoy a meal. But it has taught me something in my own life. I have learned to just get their address and simply put their address into my GPS. The drive will now be one of peace. I don't have to worry if I'm going to get to my destination now. I'm not worried if I will turn the wrong direction down a one-way street or if I'm going to hit a dead end. No, I only have to follow one direction at a time. I fully trust that this device that I'm listening to with a British accent is going to lead me where I'm supposed to go. All I have to do is follow its direction step by step. I am putting my trust in this little device. And it hasn't let me down. And so it is true of our lives. The Lord doesn't give us a printable turn-by-turn summary of every decision that we will make and how we're going to grow and are becoming more like Jesus with every decision until His Son returns, until Jesus returns. He just gives us one turn at a time. And He asks that we fully trust that as we follow each turn, He will lead us to the destination He has for us. That destination is Christ-likeness. This call to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding indicates to us that we will be in situations that our own reason and understanding would cause us to doubt and question the direction the Lord is taking us. It just doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't seem right. Are you sure, Lord? If everything the Lord led me to do made sense to my understanding, then there would be no need to trust Him. He wouldn't have had to tell me to trust Him. In fact, I think He would have had the verse in Proverbs read something more like, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, because it will make sense to you." Instead of "lean not on your own understanding." I'm glad that the verse that we read tonight in Proverbs doesn't say, "because it will make sense to you." Because I want to worship and serve a God. I want to follow a God who is bigger and who is greater than my mind. And I'm sure that's true of you as well. We shouldn't be surprised when we don't understand what God is doing. In Isaiah, we read in Isaiah 55, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Again, in Romans 11, we read, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out." His ways are past finding out. They shouldn't always make sense to us. I hope that even when I don't understand what God is doing, that I will still choose, and that you will still choose, to trust in the Lord, to trust in him. Just as Job wrote the powerful words in Job chapter 13, verse 15, he said, "Though he," that's the Lord, "though the Lord slay me, yet I will trust him." This is a choice that Job made, to trust the Lord. No matter what the situation looked like, no matter what it felt like, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how uncomfortable it was, and no matter what his friends and companions told him, he chose to trust in the Lord. Now, to trust in the Lord is not to set up our lives in such a way so that we have a safety net in case the Lord doesn't come through. It's to set up your life so that if he ever were to fail you, that you would sink. You would be finished completely. Now, I do want to be quick to say that the Lord will never fail you. We know that from Scripture. But the idea is that our life is dependent and built on his word. And that if that is our, if that foundation of his word, trust in his word, is ever removed from our lives, that our lives would crumble. This is total dependence on the Lord. If you stand with one foot on the rock and one in quicksand, you will still sink. Both feet must be firmly planted on the rock. We sung about that tonight, didn't we? I think that to fully trust the Lord in our lives, it's important that we have a healthy distrust of ourselves. And yet it's funny to me that although God's word is only proven true and trustworthy from the beginning of time, that we're still more comfortable, at least I'm still more comfortable, trusting my very own limited understanding, my flawed understanding, than I am in his perfect and proven wisdom. Wisdom that has been tested and stood up the test of time for thousands of years. Millions of lives have tested it and found it to be true and trustworthy. And yet, I'm more comfortable trusting in Jonathan and my 31 years of experience. How very few they are. Now, I admit that it would be much easier to trust the Lord if he were to respond to me in a more timely manner when I'm seeking his direction. I find it so easy to trust in him when there's nothing to lose and there's nothing on the line. There's no time constraints. It's when I have a deadline. It's when there's a lot in the balance that it is most difficult to trust the Lord for direction and for leading. He doesn't give us the choice of choosing to trust him when it's easy, when there's nothing on the line, when it makes sense. He calls us to trust him in everything, in all of our ways. That is why the more we know the Lord and his faithfulness in the Scriptures, in his holy word, the more likely we are to trust him. And with each experience we have of trusting him and experiencing him being faithful in the situations of our own lives, the stronger the foundation of our trust in him becomes. Our trust in the Lord is built upon the knowledge of his word And it grows through life experiences where we prove His trustworthiness in our lives. I'm sure we all have testimonies of where God has proven trustworthy in the different situations of our lives. We look back on those as testimonies to His faithfulness and to His worthiness to have our trust put in Him. Now, for our second point, I would like to look at the instruction that we're given in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him," acknowledge the Lord. The word acknowledge means to know, to consider. That is to know the Lord in all of your ways, to consider the Lord in all of your ways. It is to be aware and attentive to the fact that He's involved and interested in every area of your life, every decision, and that He has a will and a direction for your life. The Lord wants this knowledge to be at the foundation of our decision making, this knowledge that He wants to be involved in all of our ways. The more we trust in the Lord, the more we realize how He is involved in the details of our lives. If you're a person tonight who believes that God is not interested in the details of your life and only what we consider to be the major decisions that we make, then you'll only enjoy and have that level of involvement from the Lord. He will only be as involved in your life as we acknowledge and let Him be involved. Why would He tell us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways if He wasn't interested in all of the ways of our life? He says it because He is interested. He is interested in the details. The great tendency that I have, and I'm sure it's common to most of us in the room, is to seek and acknowledge God in what we consider to be those big areas of our lives. But in the daily decisions of life, we take care of that until we hit a crisis. I can handle this, Lord. I can take care of this. In God's Word, we are given plenty of examples of bad decisions that were made because the Lord was not acknowledged prior to that decision. They move forward based on their understanding. In fact, we just studied the life of Josiah, king of Judah, just a couple weeks ago with Pastor Damien, and how he died in battle because he went to battle in his zeal for the Lord and neglected to acknowledge the Lord and seek if it was God's will for him to join in battle against the Egyptians. I believe Josiah's end would have been much different had he sought God's direction prior to moving out. And I think we can apply that to our own lives. I have never been disappointed in bringing too much to the Lord, but so often I've been disappointed in not bringing enough to Him. When we acknowledge Him, we are knowing and considering His Word and how it applies to the decisions that we're about to make. We are allowing the presence and the influence of God's Holy Spirit to direct our decision making. So often, there seems to be a tendency for us to think that it's more spiritual if I can make decisions and lead situations in my own life without having to seek the Lord, or as we might put it, bother the Lord. But the truth is, the more spiritual that a person is, the more dependent upon the Lord, and the more they will acknowledge Him in every decision, in every area of their life. Does this mean that I can't make a decision until I've laid out a fleece or until I have two Bible verses in my back pocket that give me direction? I would love it if we had time in every decision that comes our way to set aside and have these kind of confirmations. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have hours to sit and contemplate, what do you have me to do here, God? But I want you to know that we can still make the Lord as much a part of our decision making as if we had 4 hours to pray over it. The way I do this is by first putting my full trust in His Word. Next, I am aware and I am conscious of His presence in my life. The result is that I will trust in His word and have that as my foundation. All the decisions I will make will run through the grid of the Word of God. So I may not be spending hours in prayer seeking Him for a decision that, because of certain circumstances, has to be made quickly. But I am running it through the grid of His Word. And by His Word, He is leading me through His Spirit inside of me. If I make the mistake of trusting more in my own understanding than God's Word, then I will find, rather than making decisions with His Word as the foundation for my decision making, I'm doing it with my own experience and limited knowledge. And as we all know, that leads to big trouble. So as we acknowledge Him, we are acknowledging His Word and allowing it to be the basis of our decisions. And when we do this, that Word, His Word, shines as a bright light and it illuminates our path. That path that He's leading us in. Psalm 119, 105 says it perfectly. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. And that brings us to our final point. That when we trust and acknowledge God, He will direct our paths. At the end of verse 6, it says, He shall direct your paths. When we read the word paths in this verse, it speaks of a prepared walkway. This is not a promise for the Lord to give us a series of disjointed decisions that have no ultimate direction and no ultimate plan. It is a promise to give us the direction we need to stay on the path of God's plan for our lives. Because the direction He gives us is not just with the immediate in view, but it's the entire path that we can't see. But God, because He's God, He can see the beginning to the end. He sees the whole pathway. The direction, because of that fact, because we can't see the beginning to the end, the direction might seem like a mistake at times because we have such a limited view and perspective. This is why He started with the call to trust. God is so smart. He doesn't get the cart before the horse. He says to trust. Remember, the many people of Israel were led in the wilderness to the promised land. Theirs was not the shortest path, but it was the safest path for their lives. In fact, it was the path that the Lord had prepared to refine them and to teach them the lessons that were critical for them and their children to learn before they could handle the blessing and the privilege of the promised land. Well, in my mind, this brings up a question. And maybe you have this same question. How does the Lord lead us? How does He direct us in our paths as we trust Him and acknowledge Him? And let me just refer to Bill McDonald here. He's a popular guy today. David referred to him this morning. But he says things so well, and I couldn't, in good conscience, copy it and say it without giving him credit. So let's read what Bill says. God may direct you through the Bible, through the advice of godly Christians, through the marvelous converging of circumstances, through the inward peace of the Spirit, or through a combination of these. He will make His guidance so clear that to refuse it would be positive disobedience. The key here is that God wants to direct you, and He wants you walking in His path even more than you want it, even more than you want to be there. So as we put our trust in Him and seek Him, He will communicate to us in whatever way He needs to, so that you know what He wants you to do. He knows your individual heart, personality, your history. He knows how to get through to you. He knows how to communicate what He wants you to do. You are His child. And a dad always knows how to talk to his kids and get through to them. His communication is very personal and it's very individual. And there's no formula for it, which I am glad for. He talks to me differently than he talks to my wife. He talks to me differently than he talks to you and to each one of us. It's individual and it is personal. He may speak to you through a verse time and time again. He may lead you by his peace. We just want to be open to whatever way he may choose to lead us in each decision. Don't limit the way that God can communicate to you. Be open and realize that God will choose when and how he wants to communicate with you. I would encourage you not to give God three choices, like a multiple choice test. God, here is the decision that has to be made. Here's the three ways that I see it. Get back to me when you make up your mind. We need to give God room to be God and to lead and to guide us how he wants to lead and to guide us. This is an important point for us to take home. So let me ask you a few questions with all that we've talked about tonight. Are you trusting in the Lord with all of your heart? Do you recognize that your understanding is limited and flawed and that you need to trust him? Or over time, maybe you've walked with the Lord for a while and you become confident in decision making and leaning on your own understanding. Maybe you've made 20 decisions that have turned out okay. And so now the tendency is to lean on that history of leaning on your own understanding. It only takes one decision. You don't know what's right around the corner to create a complete disaster. The only reason there hasn't been one yet is because God is gracious and because he loves you. But he wants to get through to you tonight and he wants you to trust him with all of your heart. Are you lying helplessly, face down, trusting the Lord? Or have you got up from that face down position and you've grabbed the crutch of understanding and you're pulling yourself up and you're holding yourself up by it? God wants to tell you tonight to fall back down and lie helplessly as you trust him. Are you acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways? Do you seek him in the details of your life? Do you realize that God wants to be involved in the details of your life? Or have you grown comfortable with God at a distance, with God being the crisis management solution for your life? God will be so much more in our lives if we give him that place. But we must give him that place in our lives. He loves the details of your life. There's no one better acquainted with him than God. And so I encourage you and I encourage myself tonight to allow him to be involved in the details. When is the last time that you acknowledged God in a decision that you had to make that wasn't a crisis? Think about it for a moment. When is the last time I sought God's direction and waited for an answer? That can be searching right there. I won't tell you the last time I did it. We all have our own times. But the Lord wants those times to be the very last decision that we made, not 2 weeks ago or a year ago. Are we following God's direction and God's path as he leads us? We have to be willing to do what he tells us to do. We have a promise here in God's word that he will direct us. But that direction is only helpful if we follow it. Oftentimes, we don't want to do what God has shown us to do, the answer and the direction that he's given us. And so we simply wait for a different answer. Lord, is that really you? That can't be you. I rebuked that thought. And now I'm going to wait for the answer that I think is right. We spiritualize it when really we're not trusting Him in being obedient to what He has directed us to do. So we have a beautiful promise, but that promise is worthless unless we follow through and we follow it. We answer Him. And we answer Him and follow it whenever and however He tells us to do it. All we do is follow. We shouldn't be seeking God to confirm decisions that we've already made in our minds. We should be seeking God about the decision He wants us to make. A lot of times I know I've had that tendency in the past where I've made a decision and my mind is made up. And now I have only the religious exercise of saying, Lord, is that okay? I'm going to do it. Is that okay with you? And I'm already planning on doing it. God doesn't ask us to come to Him and ask for permission. He asks us to come to Him and ask for direction in our lives. This requires an emptying of ourselves and our desires and a complete opening of our minds and our hearts to whatever He would say to us. So as we seek the Lord, as we take hold of this promise and we come before Him with hearts that are trusting, acknowledging Him in every way, we need to seek Him believing that He will answer and do what He's promised. This is an important part for us. And I love in James chapter 1, verse 5, and I'll read it for you. James gives us really a warning, a promise and a warning. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. A promise there. The same promise we have of direction. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. The Lord wants us to be confident as we come before Him, as we seek Him for direction in our lives. He wants us to believe that He will do what He has said He will do. So when we acknowledge Him, when we put our trust in Him and we seek Him for direction of our next decision, believe that God will answer you. Don't believe that He'll answer you in His timing, but believe that He will answer you in His timing and give you the direction to the path that He has for you to travel down that will bring you to Christ-likeness and the eventual end. Let's be confident that the Lord will do what He has promised to do in our lives tonight. Let's pray together. Father, Your word is perfect. Your promises are true. And just as we said, Lord, there is a testimony, Lord, from saints that have gone before us for thousands of years that tells us that what You have promised, You will do. That You are worthy of our trust and that You are interested in the details of our lives. And Lord, we desire that You would remind us of these truths. We forget them, Lord. We get lazy and we get comfortable leaning on our own experiences and understanding. Would You protect us from that, Father? Our heart's desire is to follow You, to trust You and acknowledge You. Strengthen us in that, Lord. Guide us in that. Would You minister to us now as we come before You and allow You to further apply these truths to our hearts, Lord? as we worship you, Lord, would you just continue what you've been doing here now for the last half hour, Lord, and maybe longer than that in some of our lives, Father. We give you the rest of this time and we just commit this word to you. In Jesus' name, amen.